like confidence in his power, declaims, "Peace, Menelaus, or this hand shall slay thee," receives a daily pittance, and sleeps on rags. You may speak in the same way about all these dandies whom you see riding in litters above the heads of men and above the crowd. In every case, their happiness is put on like the actor's mask. Tear it off, and you will scorn them. When you buy a horse, you order its blanket to be removed. You pull off the garments from slaves that are advertised for sale, so that no bodily flaws may escape your notice. If you judge a man, do you judge him when he is wrapped in a disguise? Slave dealers hide under some sort of finery any defect which may give offense, and for that reason, the very trappings arouse the suspicion of the buyer. If you catch sight of a leg or an arm that is bound up in cloths, you demand that it be stripped and that the body itself be revealed to you. Do you see yonder Scythian or Sarmatian king, his head adorned with the badge of his office? If you wish to see what he amounts to, and to know his full worth, take off his diadem. Much evil lurks beneath it. But why do I speak of others? If you wish to set a value on yourself, put away your money, your estates, your honors, and look into your own soul. At present, you are taking the word of others for what you are. Farewell. Letter 81. On Benefits. You complain that you have met with an ungrateful person. If this is your first experience of that sort, you should offer thanks either to your good luck or to your caution. In this case, however, caution can effect nothing but to make you ungenerous. For if you wish to avoid such a danger, you will not confer benefits. And so, that benefits may not be lost with another man, they will be lost to yourself. It is better, however, to get no return than to confer no benefits. Even after a poor crop, one should sow again, for often losses due to continued barrenness of an unproductive soil have been made good by 1 year's fertility. In order to discover one grateful person, it is worthwhile to make trial of many ungrateful ones. No man has so unerring a hand when he confers benefits that he is not frequently deceived. It is well for the traveler to wander that he may again cleave to the path. After a shipwreck, sailors try the sea again. The banker is not frightened away from the forum by the swindler. If one were compelled to drop everything that caused trouble, life would soon grow dull amid sluggish idleness. But in your case, this very condition may prompt you to become more charitable, for when the outcome of any undertaking is unsure, you must try again and again in order to succeed ultimately. I have, however, discussed the matter with sufficient fullness in the volumes which I have written, entitled On Benefits. What I think should rather be investigated is this, a question which I feel has not been made sufficiently clear: whether he who has helped us has squared the account and has freed us from our debt if he has done us harm later. You may add this question also, if you like. When the harm done later has been more than the help rendered previously. If you are seeking for the formal and just decision of a strict judge, you will find that he checks off one act by the other and declares, though the injuries outweigh the benefits, yet we should credit to the benefits anything that stands over even after the injury. The harm done was indeed greater, but the helpful act was done first. Hence, the time also should be taken into account. Other cases are so clear that I need not remind you that you should also look into such points as how gladly was the help offered, and how reluctantly was the harm done, since benefits as well as injuries depend on the spirit. I did not wish to confer the benefit, but I was won over by my respect for the man, or by the importunity of his request, or by hope. Our feeling about every obligation depends in each case upon the spirit in which the benefit is conferred. We weigh not the bulk of the gift, but the quality of the goodwill which prompted it. So now, let us do away with guesswork. The former deed was a benefit, and the latter, which transcended the earlier benefit, is an injury. The good man so arranges the two sides of his ledger that he voluntarily cheats himself by adding to the benefit and subtracting from the injury. The more indulgent magistrate, however, and I should rather be such a one, will order us to forget the injury and remember the accommodation. But surely, you say, it is the part of justice to render to each that which is his due, thanks in return for a benefit and retribution, or at any rate ill will, in return for an injury. This, I say, will be true when it is one man who has inflicted the injury, and a